Father Murphy was in rare form one Sunday morning, and he told his congregation, "All of you who want to go to heaven, stand up." And the entire congregation immediately stood up. Then he said, "Okay, good. Now sit down." And then he said, "All of you who want to go to hell, stand up." And one little fella in the back row named Riley stood up, and Father said, "What are you doing standing up?" He says, "Father, I just didn't like seeing you standing there all by yourself." Today's gospel is about heaven and about hell. And it's a very powerful story, the parable of the rich man and Lazarus. Notice we don't know the name of the rich man. We only know the name of the poor beggar at his gate, named Lazarus. And that in itself, I think, is a message from the Lord. That so in those days, they considered, the rich people, they were the important ones, but, the poor people, who cared about them? But the Lord is interesting. He doesn't give us the name of the rich man, but he does give us the name of the poor man, Lazarus. And when we look at this very powerful story that the Lord paints, this scene of earth, and then we see a glimpse into eternity, we see that the roles are reversed. On earth, you have the rich man dressing in the finest clothes, eating the finest foods, having big banquets, and even a lot of food falls off the table. There's so much food. And yet, there's a beggar at the door, and the beggar's name is Lazarus, and poor Lazarus is alone. He's covered with sores, so he's lost his health, probably lost his family, has nobody to care for him. He's so hungry, he would have just loved to eat the scraps that fell off this banquet table in the rich man's house. Even the dogs would come and lick his sores. And dogs, those wild street dogs, were considered unclean for the Jews. And so he was in the worst imaginable state, a beggar at the gate. So poor, alone, hungry, lost everything, lost his health. Well, Jesus says, they both died. The rich man died and Lazarus died. So Jesus had just painted the scene on earth, and now we move to heaven. And now we see what's happening in eternity, in the next world, in heaven and hell. Well, it says, Lazarus, the poor man, was carried by angels to the bosom of Abraham, to Abraham's right-hand side, where there was the heavenly banquet. And so he's now in glory, in happiness. But then it says, the rich man also died, and it says he went to the netherworld, or Hades, hell, and he's in torment. And he's in hell suffering. He had everything good in this life, but now he's suffering in hell. And he looks up and he sees Abraham, probably Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and then he sees that old beggar that used to be at his gate, right there next to Abraham. And he says, "Father Abraham." Just as an interesting side note, sometimes people say, "Well, why do you Catholics call priests father?" Because the Bible says, "Call no man on earth your father." Well, here is a scriptural evidence, a parable given by Jesus himself, where Abraham is called Father Abraham, that title showing that Abraham is the spiritual father. And that's why we call priests father, because we are spiritual fathers. So Father Abraham, send Lazarus to bring me a drink of water, for I'm tormented in these flames. Of course, Abraham says, during your lifetime, you had it well, and Lazarus had it bad. Now he is comforted, and you are tormented, and there's a chasm, and nobody can cross from heaven to hell or from hell to heaven. And so there's nothing we can do for you. And so then he says, Father Abraham, send Lazarus to go back from the dead and warn my brothers so they won't end up in hell either. That they won't open, I don't want them to go to hell. So in other words, do what they did to Ebenezer Scrooge, right? Send a ghost of Christmas past, present, and future, right? Because go shake him up a little bit. Send somebody from the dead. Send Lazarus. Let Lazarus go back from the dead. And Abraham says, no. They have enough knowledge for salvation. They have Moses and the prophets. They know what are in the Ten Commandments. And the rich man says, they're not going to listen to that, but if somebody goes back from the dead, if somebody rises from the dead, then they'll be converted. That will get their attention. And Abraham says something very sobering. He says, if they don't listen to the Bible, to Moses and the prophets, if they don't listen to the scriptures and the teachings of God, neither will they be persuaded, even if somebody rises from the dead. Now, what's unique is that out of all the parables, this is the only time Jesus ever names anybody, and he happened to choose the name of a man he would raise from the dead, and his name was Lazarus. And even though Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead and sent him back to the scribes and the Pharisees, still, they did not believe. So the Lord was trying to show them the hardness of their heart, that they had to have this opportunity while they're still alive to be converted. Because after death, it is too late to be converted. You have to be converted while you're still alive. So Jesus did send somebody back from the dead, and that was Lazarus. And in fact, the Lord himself would rise from the dead, and still people would not believe. Some people would not believe, even though Jesus himself came back from the dead. So what are the truths that we can glean from this very powerful story? And how can we apply this to our life? Well, the first lesson we can take from this parable is that there is dignity in each and every person. Whether a person be rich or poor, whether it be a beggar lying at the gate, they have dignity, they have value, they are children of God. So Lazarus, the poor, sick man at the door, had dignity. And so the church has always upheld the dignity of each and every person, born and unborn. A second lesson, death will come to us all. Whether it be rich or poor, death will come to us all. And immediately after death, the judgment. The Catechism calls it the particular judgment. Sometimes it's called the individual judgment. The individual judgment, at that moment of our death, we will either go directly into heaven, directly into hell, or temporarily into purgatory to be cleansed of small sins and imperfections. Eventually, purgatory will empty on the final judgment when Christ comes again to judge the living and the dead. But if a person is still there by the end of time in purgatory, they will be led into heaven. But ultimately, purgatory will cease to exist at the second coming of Christ, and there will only be heaven and hell. And Jesus tells us that what we do and how we treat others will determine where we go in the next life. So how we live our life, how much we love God, how much we loved our neighbor, that will determine where we go, either to heaven or to hell. We also learn from this parable that we have to change while we're alive. We can't expect to be converted after death. That doesn't happen. While we're alive, that's our opportunity for conversion and change of heart. We can also learn from this parable the importance of sins of omission. See, I think most people are pretty good about realizing their sins that they commit and they confess them, but have we ever confessed sins of omission? These are things that we should have done but failed to do. See, the rich man was not intentionally cruel to Lazarus. He never went out and beat him up. He never kicked him when he went by. He just ignored him. He just turned the other way. He just decided not to help. So the rich man committed the sin of omission. Here was somebody that he could have helped very easily just by giving him leftovers. And yet, he did not do that. We also learn from this passage that we have enough to get us to heaven through divine revelation, through sacred scripture and tradition and the teachings of the church. We shouldn't have to wait for somebody to, come back from the dead to get our attention. We have everything we need in the deposit of faith, in divine revelation. And lastly, I think we should ask ourselves the question, who are the Lazaruses at our gate? Who are the Lazaruses at our door? I think in our own life, we can perhaps think of people that we know. Maybe they're in a nursing home. Maybe they're in the hospital right now. Maybe they're in prison. Maybe they're a sick relative. Maybe that's our Lazarus that we're called to not ignore, but to visit or to make that phone call or write that letter or go see somebody. Maybe our Lazarus is that unborn baby at the abortion clinic, and we need to be out there praying the rosary in front of that clinic, praying for the moms and the dads that are thinking about going in there. Maybe that's our Lazarus, that unborn baby that is at the gate of that abortion clinic. So who is our Lazarus? Maybe it is a sick relative, a loved one, a family member. Maybe it's the poor in our area and other parts of the world. That's why we're so blessed to have in our parish the Samaritans and the House of Mercy. And that's a good lesson for us, because those would be the Lazarus at our gate, and we're trying to help them through the Samaritans and the House of Mercy. And so we ask ourselves, why was this rich man condemned? Was it because of his riches? John Paul II said no, it was because of his selfishness. Let me just end with this passage from Pope John Paul II when he was here at Yankee Stadium in 1979. He preached to like 50,000 people. So this was the Pope's message to the Catholic Church in America, to all Americans. Was the rich man condemned because he had riches? Because he abounded in earthly possessions? Because he dressed in purple and linen and feasted sumptuously every day? No. I would say it was not for this reason. The rich man was condemned because he did not pay attention to the other man. Because he failed to take notice of Lazarus, the person who sat at his own door and who longed to eat the scraps from his table. Nowhere does Christ condemn the mere possession of earthly goods as such. Instead, he pronounces very harsh words against those who use their possessions in a selfish way, without paying attention to the needs of others. We cannot stand idly by, enjoying our own riches and freedom, if in any place the Lazarus of the 20th century stands at our door. In the light of the parable of Christ, riches and freedom mean a special responsibility. Riches and freedom create an obligation. And so, in the name of the solidarity that binds us all together in a common humanity, I again proclaim the dignity of every human person. The rich man and Lazarus are both human beings, both of them equally created in the image and likeness of God, both of them equally redeemed by Christ, and at a great price, the price of his precious blood.